We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Song of Solomon, and chapter 2. And our text for this evening is verse 14. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 14. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Traditionally, the Friday night of the communion is for self-examination. We are commanded by the scriptures, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. So we're to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith, to prove our own selves. Are we the Lord's people? Do we have a right to come to the Lord's table? Who is the Lord's table for? It's only for the Lord's people. So are we belonging to that group? And if we are the Lord's people, are there things in our lives which ought not to be there? Things which we are to get rid of? Things we're to sort out? Let a man examine himself, put right what is wrong, and so let him eat. Now tonight, I would like us to look at this verse together and to see the marks that are there of the Christian, of the healthy Christian, and to ask ourselves, are we like that or are we not? As you know, the Song of Solomon is a kind of parable. It explains for us the relationship between God and his people, Christ and his church. So we've got this picture of the bridegroom and the bride. And then in the verse before us, there's an added picture, the picture of the dove in the cleft of the rocks. So first of all tonight, I want us to ask the question, how are Christians like doves? How are we like doves? And there's a number of things that can be said in answer to this. First of all, we're like doves in the sense of being beautiful. A dove is a very beautiful bird. It's got lovely feathers. And if you look at the feathers, there's a beautiful sheen on them. And wonderful colours sometimes on the neck of a dove, the purpley sort of colours. They're beautiful. Now, we weren't always beautiful. We were more like crows, or perhaps even more like bats. Not even got feathers, but just horrid, creepy little creatures that live in the dark. Well, that's the way we were, weren't we? We were in darkness, hiding in the darkness, loving the darkness, ugly, horrible creatures. But the Lord did something wonderful for us. We were born again. We were created anew in Christ Jesus. We were made into beautiful doves. Think of Psalm 68, verse 13. Though ye have lain among the pots, like doves ye shall appear, whose wings with silver and with gold, whose feathers covered are. You used to live among the pots. You were a slave. You were a bat there amongst the pots. But now you've been changed. You've been transformed. And you've been given the heart of a dove. And you've been given the feathers of a dove. And indeed your feathers are covered with silver and with gold. Beautiful. what the Lord has done for us. We were in the land of Egypt. We were slaves there. But the Lord has made us free. He's brought us out. He's brought us to his promised land. We were like Cinderella, clothed in rags, covered with grime, working in the kitchen. And the Lord has taken us out and clothed us with robes, with beautiful garments. He's made us into princes and princesses in his own kingdom. I am black, but comely. Black, yes, black still with so much sin in us, but comely, lovely, beautiful. And the beauty I have is not a self-generated beauty. It's the beauty of the Lord our God, which shall be upon us as his people, a beauty gifted by Christ. We are renewed in his image, in his likeness. And so we're made like Jesus, beautiful. Doves in beauty. And it's all from Christ. And then also, the dove is a very clean bird. It delights in what's clean and pure. It wasn't one of the unclean birds of the Old Testament, like the crows and the seagulls and the eagles and so on, and the birds of prey. No, the dove was a clean bird. And it's clean in its habits. It seems that the mother dove teaches the young doves to carry its own dung out of the nest and to keep the nest clean. Well, isn't that a picture of God's people? We have been cleansed, haven't we? We've been washed in the blood. And we delight in purity. And we long to be clean. We want to be more and more pure. More and more clean. Washed, cleansed, purified. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, wash me and make me clean. Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me. I shall be cleansed so. We were cleaned at the beginning of our lives as Christians. And every day of our lives, we come again for cleaning, don't we? Every day as sinners we come and we say, wash me. Create in me a clean heart. When David said that, he's not talking about regeneration or the new birth. He's talking about his experience as an old Christian who had gone astray. And he's needing to have a new heart created in him. And so do we. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Are you one then that longs to be clean and wants to be clean and delights in being cleansed and loves what is clean? That's a mark of the Christian. Oh, wretched man that I am, that I am so dirty. Lord, make me clean. Delights in purity, in life and in talk. And then the dove is a harmless bird. It's not like the eagle or the hawk. Harmless. Jesus said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So that we are to be in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, we are to be kept by God. And we are ourselves not to act as wolves, but as sheep. Or not to be tearing and devouring one another, but rather loving one another and walking together in unity and in harmony together, not biting and devouring each other. So there's another mark of the Christian. We all fail, yes we do, but do you not desire to be harmless like a dove, harmless and loving in that sense. Something else about the dove is that it's loving in the sense that it stays with its one mate all its life. It doesn't go around getting new partners. It's got the one partner all its life. And that's the way it's to be with us, isn't it? Not committing adultery from the Lord, not going away after false gods, but loving our partner, loving our Lord Jesus Christ, casting away all idols, hating all spiritual adultery, loving and chaste. Is that our concern? Is that our interest? Then our place is at the Lord's table. Also, the dove is fruitful. It doesn't have very many in its brood, but it can have several broods in one year. It's fruitful. And God's people are fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You are not barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No, you are fruitful. You are striving to bring forth more fruit. You want to be fruitful. And by God's grace, you are fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit. Also, doves are sociable. They're not on their own. They like to go around in groups and flocks together. Flocks of doves. And God's people, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that ye have love one for another. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Loving to one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but delighting in fellowship. Then, doves are weak creatures. They're attacked by many birds of prey. Hawks and falcons feed on doves. The dove is not really able to defend itself. All it can do is fly away. And are we not like that as Christians? We have many enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Satan, that roaring lion, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That great hawk, always hovering above, ready to dive down on us and tear us with his claws, but kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Yes, we are weak creatures, but we look to the Lord. There are those who persecute us. The world around us hates us, and wishes that there wasn't a Christian left in the world, would destroy us if they could. But no, they will not be able to. But blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The dove is a shy and timid bird. And there's a sense in which we're like that, aren't we, as Christians? We have a consciousness of our own weakness, of our frailty, needy. We're aware that we cannot stand on our own. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek and lowly of heart like Christ, shy and timid. not strong and full of ourselves and standing up tall as it were, but feeling very weak and frail and timid, and yet trusting in the Lord, we come to his table. And the dove is a mournful bird, isn't it? When you listen to doves cooing, there's scarcely a more mournful sound that you could hear anywhere than the doves cooing. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord's people are often mourning. Mourning over their sins. Mourning over their shortcomings. Mourning over their lack of fruit. Mourning over how little they're doing for the Lord. Mourning over what a poor witness they are. Mourning over the weakness of the church. Are you one of the blessed mourners? Are you like the cooing dove? And yet rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood washes all our sins away. The dove is selective in what it eats. It likes clean food. It won't eat the husks. It likes to eat the clean grain, as it were. And the Lord's people are like that, aren't they? They desire the sincere milk of the word that they might grow thereby. They love the bread that comes down from heaven. Do you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness? And is the Lord Jesus Christ your bread, your food? The dove is swift at flying. The psalmist said, "Oh, that I like a dove had wings, said I, then would I fly far hence, that I might find a place where I in rest might be. Oh, then far off I wander wood and in the desert stay, from windy storm and tempest I would haste me fast away." As the Lord's people, we fly. We fly swiftly to Christ. We fly in times of danger. Flee from idols. Flee from wickedness. Flee from sin. Flee from our enemies. Flee to Christ. Christ is like the city of refuge. The manslayer is after us. We run with all our energy to get to that city of refuge. We fly to the clefts of the rock, where alone there is safety for us. Swift at flying. And then to the dove. The dove attracts wild doves to the dovecote. That's one of the things that happens if you're keeping doves, or wild doves will come along too to join with them. And is that not something that's true about the Lord's people? We long to see the wild doves brought in. We long to see the unconverted gathered in. We long to see men and women being saved. And it's our delight to bring them in. We don't chase them out when they come. We give them a great welcome. And the dove is very dependent. Remember Noah. He put out a raven, first of all, from the ark. And the raven didn't come back. It flew up and down and no doubt found plenty to eat. But the dove found nowhere to rest her foot. And she came back into the ark. And he sent it out again and it came back again. The Lord's people are like doves. They need the ark. They need the Lord Jesus. They fly to the ark where there's safety, where there's security. Very dependent. Weak in ourselves. Our only hope is in the Lord. One other thing. Remember, the Spirit came down on Jesus Christ in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and dwells in us. He who came on Christ in the form of a dove, he makes us into doves. And he makes us in the likeness of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwells in us, giving us our dove-like nature. So there's all these different ways in which Christians are like doves. Do you find yourself like a dove, even in some of these ways, and longing to be more like a dove? If you do, then your place is at the Lord's table. But moving on, notice the dove's home. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. What rock is this? Surely it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. The rock, Christ. He is the rock to which we go. We hide ourselves in the clefts of the rock, in the wounds of a crucified Saviour who died that we might live. By his stripes we are healed. By his wounds we are delivered. The dove makes its nest in the rocks, and so Christians make their nest in Christ. We seek union with him, don't we? A Christian is somebody united to Christ. United to Christ. And so we are in Christ. And Christ is in us. And when the Christian is pursued by the hawk, the dove pursued by the hawk, where does it fly to? There's only one safe place for the dove to get away from the fast-flying hawk. And that is in the cleft of the rock. We fly to him, and under the covert of his wings we find protection and safety. But it's not just from the devil that we need safety. Not just from the persecutors that we need safety. We need safety also from the justice of God, from divine wrath. And where can we find security and safety from the blazing wrath of God? Only in the one who bore that wrath for us. Only in the clefts of Christ the rock. To him we look, to him we come, in him we hide, in him we're safe. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Remember Moses, how he hid in the cleft of the rock as the Lord in his glory passed by. And if Moses had not been in the cleft of the rock, he would have been burned up by the wrath and holiness and justice of God. But in the rock, he was safe, he was secure. But there's another idea here, not just in the clefts of the rock, but in the secret places of the stairs. So there's the idea of the secret places. And we need our secret places, don't we? To have our secret communion with Christ. Every Christian has to have his secret prayer and his secret fellowship with the Lord, and his reading and meditating on God's word daily, in the secret places of the stairs. Do you love the secret place? That's a great mark of the Christian, and of the healthy Christian. And when we're negligent about the secret place, it's a sign that things are going wrong, backsliding. We need the closet, the place of prayer. But then too, the stairs. The stairs are a picture of Christ, aren't they? The stairs up to heaven. The ladder that goes up to heaven. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder. Christ is the ladder. He is the way of access to God, and the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Christ is our access, and our only access. But moving on, thirdly, looking at the bridegroom. The bridegroom is set before us here as the one who is speaking. O my dove, Solomon, picture of Christ, the bride, a picture of the church. My dove, mine personally, mine that belongs to me, says Christ. Mine because in eternity we were given to Christ. The elect were handed to him. And in his great love he came into this world and he died for us. My dove for which I have died to save them. My dove for which I died to give them life. To deliver them, to transform them from being ugly bats into beautiful doves. My dove. My dove, I have put my spirit into their hearts. The spirit who is like a dove. I have put my spirit into their hearts. And we belong to him. We are his and he is ours. What is your relationship to Christ? What think ye of Christ? Is he yours? Can you say here, my beloved is mine, and I am his? Is he yours? Are you his? Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Is he your beloved? We love him because he first loved us, and having first loved us, transformed us into doves, and we are his dove, my dove. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock. He gave his life for us to make us his own, and every good thing we have, we get because of him. So what is Christ to you? Is he yours? Are you his? If not, you've got no place at his table. And then finally, the request that is here. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Let me see thy countenance. Christ is saying to his dove, let me see your face. Sometimes we hide our faces, don't we? Sometimes we're ashamed. We blush, like Ezra. Like Daniel, we say, to us belongs confusion of face. We're ashamed because of our sins. We hide our face like the publican in the temple. We hang our heads down. We lift not up our eyes to heaven. But our Beloved is saying to us, let me see thy face. Trust in me. Put your faith in my blood so that you're no longer discouraged and disheartened by your sins, but you're trusting in my blood. Come with boldness to a throne of grace so that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come with boldness. Let me see thy face. Lift up your head with joy. Come with boldness to the Lord's table. He's saying to you, let me see thy face. And he says, let me hear thy voice. There's a time to be silent, but there's also a time to speak. And often, sadly, we're silent when we should speak. And we are to speak to him in praise. We're to speak to him in prayer. We're to speak to him in fellowship and meditation and worship and delight. We're to tell others about him. Thy voice is sweet. How the Lord loves to hear our voice. And why do we then deny him the pleasure? Why do we sing his praises so little? Why do we pray to him so little? Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, the voice of his redeemed, rejoicing in him. And let me see thy countenance. The world thinks that we're fools, despises us. We ourselves, we have a low estimate of ourselves. And yet, to Christ we're precious. We are precious to him. We are as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The beautiful white lily among the ugly thorns. That's you. The dove among all the other ugly bats. The dove shining forth its beauty. Let me see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely. You're beautiful. And where does your beauty come from? From Christ. He made you beautiful, and all your beauty comes from him. And he loves to look into your face, into the face of your soul. And he delights in you coming to his table. Don't hide your face with shame. Trust in the blood. Don't keep your voice quiet. Speak out in prayer and praise and worship. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. What an invitation we have here then to come to the Lord's table and to celebrate his amazing work for us. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Gracious and ever blessed God, lift up our hearts to thee and help us to worship thee. Help us to get over all our weakness and frailty and tiredness and all the burden and stress and distractions of the week and of work and of anxieties. All the things that get us down and all the things that fill our hearts. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that are as thorns choking the good seed in the garden of God. But Lord, do thou help us, for weak we are, frail we are. But Lord, grant that we would be able to let our voice be heard and let our countenance be seen, to draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Lord, help us to turn away from all these sins and all these things that are wrong, to turn unto the Lord with all our heart, and grant that we would rejoice in Jesus Christ our Saviour and in His finished work. So help us, Lord, and bless us over this communion weekend, and may it be a precious time for Thy people here, for Jesus' sake.